Welcome to Blueprints for Brilliance Coaching Insights, a podcast by coaches for coaches. Our guests share their hard-won wisdom to help you grow your coaching business and create a life of success. So get ready to unlock the blueprints to your success. So welcome everyone to our newest episode. We appreciate you being here. And I'm excited to introduce you to MK Yang. She is a self-healing coach, and we're going to hear all about her in just a minute. So welcome to the show, MK.
Thank you, Jeannie. Thank you so much for having me on. I look forward to today's conversation, just talking with you about everything.
We're going to talk about everything.
Everything.
So tell us a little bit about what is a self-healing coach and how'd you become one?
Honestly, a self-healing coach, you know, that the definition is very broad, dependent on how you look at it. But in my definition, a self-healing coach is someone who help you discover your innate gift to help you embody who you really are at the core, at the soul level. So what my definition of self-healing coach is, and then your second question, how do you become one? You can become one just by being you. And the reason why I say that is because we can train ourselves to... We can self-heal on a lot of different levels, and we can do a lot of different things when it comes to self-healing. But to actually be a coach, it takes one to be able to understand their own journey and to be able to also guide people using the wisdom that they gain while being open to new knowledges that they're going to be receiving as they continue to grow as an individual. And so it's like an implementation of continuously unlearning and learning, if that makes sense.
Yes, oftentimes we need to unlearn to learn again. No, I'm totally on board with that. So tell me about you though. How was your journey? Where did you start? Did you go to university? Did you start in a 9-to-5 job? Did you just jump into entrepreneurship? Tell us a little bit about that.
So my journey with how I started my entrepreneurship is, it was my health giving me that push to start the entrepreneurship. From a young age, I knew that I wanted to one day own my own business working with youth. But then I was like, I still have a lot to learn along the way. But then a few years back, my health kind of, it took a toll on me. And so I had to quit everything that I was doing to really focus on myself and on restoring and re-nurturing myself back to health. And so through that process, I thought, I was like, instead of focusing so much on what I'm not too passionate about, or instead of focusing on helping other people bring their dream to reality, my time is so limited because of my health, right? And so it's time for me to focus and to actually put all of my attention in on what I wanted to do. And so before I quit my job, I was doing photography as a side hustle. And then after I quit my job to refocus on my health, I found a way to just integrate everything that I knew to actually embark on this entrepreneurship journey. And that involved doing art and then doing spiritual healing, everything that I was doing at that time, everything that I was learning, everything that I knew. It was just an integration of literally everything. But I would say a lot of people, they ask me, why self-healing? Why trauma? Why limiting beliefs? Why in the health industry? And for me, I think the biggest impact of that was the biggest impact and the things that really prepared me for the work that I do today was my mental health struggles of 16 years from age 6 until I was in my 20s. And to have overcome that and be in, say to myself, I can stay in my own bubble, or I can go back and, or I can open my community up, open up my sacred space and do the work to help those who are ready to heal themselves.
I love that. So definitely much of a self journey to healing yourself. And then now you're sharing that gift with other people and how to help themselves.
Yes.
I love that. So let's talk a little bit about what kind of people do you work with? Is it, you mentioned young people, you mentioned trauma. So are there any specifics? Because I think we all have a bit of trauma, to be honest, from our past.
That is very true. And so the group of audience that I work strictly with, I work with animals, individuals, and family to help them overcome limiting beliefs and traumas. And the reason why I work within that group And there's no age limit to anyone that I work with. I work with anyone who's open to working with me and to respecting the work that I do. And the reason why that is, it's the way it is because I feel like when it comes to self-healing, a lot of it goes back down to nature and going back to the root of how everything started, right? And so that a big part of that in my work is reconnecting to nature. This is why I love working with animals because animal has that so they have that energy that is just very grounding when it comes to being able to connect with source, being able to connect with nature, and just the other all of beings, all of what being alive is. And so I work with animals, individuals, and families. And I feel like when it comes to animals, individuals, and families, everything is very interconnected. And so in a sense of doing that, my hope is to really help people rebuild and reheal the relationship that are within their lives as well, especially the relationship with themselves, starting with the relationship with themselves.
I love that. And when you say you work with animals, do you use animals to help you and help people heal? Or are you healing the animals?
I'm both. So dependent on who my client is, if they have a pet, right? Then we work with the pet. We integrate the pet into our sessions to help them heal. Because I believe that animals, they are tied to us in a reason, in a way, and they're in our life for a reason. And so if my client have a fur baby, then we do use the fur baby to help them heal. If their fur baby needs the healing, that I work with the fur baby and I use them to help the fur baby heal.
Wow, that's cool. No, I spoke to a woman once who used horses to help heal, but it was for a different reason. It was because they're very intuitive. And if you're not being honest about yourself and your integrity, they can sense it. So that's how she used those. But I think it's fascinating and probably a great idea to help someone heal along with their pet, because some of us, like me, are so obsessed with our pets.
That's very true. I have two fur babies of my own, and I saw how they heal me in my self journey. And I also saw how I influenced their own self, their journey as well. And so through that, I was inspired to really add that part into the work I do. And so I really do believe that there is a connection there.
I love that. So, are there specific modalities that you use, or take us through if someone were a new client and we're interested in working with you? What do you do an assessment with them? Tell us a little bit about how that works.
So I with every client that I work with, I craft every single sessions according to who they are and what their goal is. And so in my work I use a lot of arts. So if let's say my client is a musician, then I get to know my client and how they approach art or how they use art in their life. And then I craft our coaching sessions in a way that inspire them to continue to pursue their path, what they're passionate about, while being able to heal that part of them that is in disalignment with the world that they have to mask away when they're out there in the world. And
Yeah.
so it's really hard when you say, what specific modalities do you use? Because every session is carefully crafted for every single client. And so no client is ever going to be experiencing two same, or like it's going to be practiced the two same modality when they work with me. And no client in no sessions is the same, is ever the same. It's always different depending on whatever the situation is that my client is facing today versus yesterday, or how they're able to process their own emotions today versus yesterday.
I love that. And I love how you bring art into it. I'll bet you attract a lot of artists, don't you? Whether it's musicians or illustrators or people who do all different kinds of art, painters.
I do, yes. And I love it because then I am an artist myself. And so I get to also learn more about what they do with their art and be inspired to actually dive more deeper into what to learn about how art is in general and how it continues to influence us as we continue to grow. And I think aspect to that is co-creation. We co-create with the world, we co-create with ourselves, we co-create with basically anything that shows up for us, whether that is like a situation, whether that is an individual that shows up in our life. And I feel like when it comes to art, it just ignites that creativity in us.
But you work with people who are not artists, right? Because some people would say, I remember my mom would be like, oh, I'm a terrible artist. And when we finally got her to paint, she did great. So I
Yeah.
think some people are like, oh, no, don't make me do art. I'm not good at it thing. But you work with people in other ways, don't you?
I do, yes. And I do, but going back to what I said earlier, I believe that everyone is an artist because we're always co-creating with the universe. And so when people say, oh, I'm not an artist, I think it really comes down to what is your personal definition of what an artist is? What is your definition of what art is, right? Because some people, when they see art or when they were hear the word art, all they think about is a musician, all they think about is a painter. But for some people, an artist may be someone who is always very creative in their thinking, or an artist could be just someone who is very creative and how they do things or how they approach something. And so I think everything just comes down to what people perceive as art and then going about it in that direction to help them understand how everything ties in their life to help them get to where influence them to where they are today and how it can influence them going forward as they continue to work towards their goal.
I love that because I think we forget that when we were kids, we were very creative. I remember I loved playing in the dirt with cars and trucks and all kinds of things and just let your imagination go and have fun with it. And I think a lot of when we get older, we end up, whether it's in an office or in a 9 to 5 or in an overly structured environment, that we forget to reconnect with nature. We forget to reconnect with that creative and fun and interesting side of us. So I love that you're doing that.
It's amazing. And it always amazes me how learning about like and seeing how everything continues to like align for my client as we continue to work towards their goal. Because it's like sometimes they come to me, they're like, oh my gosh, this happened today and I didn't realize that. But or like they come to me, they're like, oh hey, I am an artist. And I'm just like, you get that right.
I love that. So tell us a little bit about maybe a couple clients that you've worked with and where they were when they came to you, and then how you help them work through whatever it is that they were having trouble with in healing themselves.
So I have worked with clients who struggles with self-identity, and I feel like and how I work with them in that sense is I help them really detach from labels that were given to them. And the reason why when my clients they suffer with self-identity, the reason why we detach from labels is because before we remember who we are, even at birth, before we were born, we were already labeled. We were already given our name. We were already given our gender. People are already expecting or having ideas of how they want us to behave, how they want us to, right, identify ourselves. And so we're not given that space to breathe, to figure out who we are instead of being told what to do. And so when my clients come to me and we work on self-identity, we detach from anything and then we cleared that slate and was like, who are you on a soul level away from all those identity? What do you like to do? What do you crave for? And so that is something that I work with my clients on is self-identity. I have had client comes to me to because they were struggling with imposter syndrome. And how I work with them with that is we really work on how their current perspective or how the current view comes to be the way it is and how we can move forward from that. And from that, a lot of the times when it comes to imposter syndrome is I just help my client really just identify the information that they're sharing. A lot of the times when we're going through that imposter syndrome, it's not that we're pretending to be someone we're not. More of it is that we're just sharing information that we know, but we're sharing it in a way that allowed us to stand in a role that we're not used to, compared to doing it and actually teaching it, right? So those are two different roles. And so when you're feeling like you're like an imposter, sharing the knowledge that you know, you're not really an imposter. You're just teaching it in a way that you're not used to, because then What if, a lot of my clients, they're just used to doing things. So when they come to teach it, they're not used to it. So the language that they use is a little bit different, and how they approach, how they want to share this knowledge is very different from just them doing it. And so that's often how imposter syndrome came to be. And so a lot of it, when my clients came to me in the past to work on overcoming that, is you're not really an imposter. You're just sharing the knowledge that you just through a different dip, through a different role, through a different perspective.
I love that because I do think that there are so many labels and so many expectations. And I think as you get older, you ideally you recognize those and you can say, oh, well, that wasn't my idea. That was somebody else's idea. And so, but I love the idea that imposter syndrome is really just you doing something in a different way than everybody else does it. I think that's a very positive way to look at it.
That is.
So MK, if people want to work with you, they say, I think that she's hit things right on the nose, that I think she's going to be able to help me. What's the best way for them to reach out to you?
They can help. They can find me on my website, everestmk.com.
Perfect. Okay, last question for you. If you could provide one tip to make the world a better place, what would that be?
One tip to make the world a better place. I would say to be the change you want to see in this in the world, to embody that change. And the reason why I say that is because everyone else is already taken, right? And so when you show up authentically, you inspire people to also show up authentically. And I feel like when you show up authentically and you're willing to just work on yourself to and becoming a better version, you attract people who also tend to show up being the best version of themselves. And when people show up being the best version of themselves, they show up together in the community and they build a community. They're able to influence the way the world in a much more positive way, and their impact has a much more powerful influence towards the community that they work with. So it's more powerful in that sense.
I love that. Well, MK, this has been delightful. I love your attitude. I love all the wonderful things you're doing. I love that you are adding art into the mix because I think that's very unique and probably very needed. So thank you for joining me today, MK.
Thank you so much, Jeannie, for having me here. It's an honor to be here.
Thanks for joining us today on Blueprints for Brilliance Coaching Insights. We hope you're leaving this episode with inspiration to take your coaching business and your life to the next level. If you found value in this episode, we would love it if you would subscribe and share it with someone else who you think might benefit from hearing it. Thanks, and we'll see you in the next episode.